Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight we're going to do a lot of reading. Hopefully I'll get out of the way and Yahweh do his thing, and I won't stop him a lot. You know, and I'll just try to read because we're going to follow along with the story. And what I love about Yahweh, when he puts something on your mind, it's not just for you, it's for his people. He wants his people to get back to the ancient past, the old ways, what was originally written in the Torah. So that's the pathway he has been putting us on here at Beth Yahweh, getting back to the Torah, getting back to Mount Sinai. And I believe he wants all his people on the pathway back to Mount Sinai. That's why we believe here in the spirit of Eliyahu restoration, the spirit of restoration, where though how we're going to send a spirit within the world to restore all things, as you read in the book of Malachi, before the great and awesome day of Yahushua. I know some of y'all Bibles may say it's a terrible day, but for those who are holding on and looking forward to that day, it's an awesome day for me. It wouldn't be a great terrible day. For those who don't hold on to that covenant and believe in them, it's going to be a great and terrible day for them. But for me and those like me, it's going to be an awesome day. It's going to be a day of great joy and a day I can't wait. But I know it ain't going to happen no time soon because some things got to take place first in this word. So let's take the people back to Mount Sinai. Let's go back into the Levitical priesthood, and we're probably going to do a two-part or three-part, however Yahweh's going to break it down and show about this Levitical priesthood, and is it still in play? Should there still be priests of the Levitical priesthood out here? I'll start off in Exodus 19, verse 5 and 6. Again, I'm going to be doing a lot of reading. Follow along, family. Get your, we won't need your concordance too much, but you'll need your Bible to follow along. 19:5, family, 5 and 6. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession from among all people, from all the earth, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the sons of Israel. And I want to get the thought for this from the second verse, to verse 6. A kingdom of priests. And that's the thought we want to stay with. Why? Question. There should be a question for all those who study the Bible or read the Bible and have a hunger for truth and understanding. Because we want understanding, we just don't want to read it. But we want to understand it and know why we're doing it. Why you need a kingdom of priests, Father? Why would the nation of Israel be a kingdom of priests? What, they going to minister to each other? They're going to talk to each other about the word, which they would do. But you said a kingdom of priests. Just want y'all to keep that thought in your mind. He's making Israel a kingdom of priests. That was Yahweh's original thought for his people. So we can be a nation full of priests. Not just one tribe of the nation, but all 12 tribes will be priests. All the men, that is, will be priests. Why, Father? Why do you need this whole nation to be priests? Then why would you take one tribe and set it apart for yourself? We'll find that out. Not tonight, though, but I just want y'all to hold that thought in your mind. Let's move on to another scripture that talks about a nation of kingdom and priests, and that is 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for Yah's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellence of him whom called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Again, a holy nation, a royal priesthood. So now he didn't just say a nation, a kingdom of priests, or a nation of priests. You're now a royal priesthood. Not just a regular priest, you're a royal priesthood. That means you reside in the king's house. You have some royalty to you. And these things, just thoughts, while we're talking about the Levitical priesthood. A nation of kings, a nation of priests, then on top of that, a royal priesthood. Because, you know, that's what a kingdom is. A kingdom is just another word for nation. They're interchangeable. A royal priesthood, a nation of priests. Why, Father? Why are we going to be that? Why is one nation going to be a royal priesthood? For what? For who? Let's move on, because now he's just going to narrow it down for us. To Numbers. Three. We're going to start at 9 to 13. You shall give the Levites to Aaron and to his sons. They are wholly given to him on the behalf of the children of Yisra'el. Hold up now, Father. What's going on here? Let me continue to read. You shall appoint Aaron and his sons, and they shall keep their priesthood. The stranger who comes near shall be put to death. Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, Behold, I have taken the Levites from among the children of Israel instead of all the firstborn whom opened the womb among the children of Israel, and the Levites shall be mine. So Yahweh took one nation, which most of us would know, one of the tribes for the whole nation of Israel, and set them apart for himself. But we just read, because I want y'all to keep in mind, that in Exodus, a kingdom of priests. In Peter, a royal priesthood. So there's going to be a kingdom of royal priests. But in Numbers, Yahweh took one of the tribes. So in essence, right now, he's showing us what he wants to do with this one tribe. Israel is the starting point. Forgive me, fam. It's going to be hard not to go into points. We're just going to try to read today. But in Numbers, let me finish that out, 13. For all the firstborn of mine, on the day that I struck down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I made holy to me all the firstborn in Israel, both man and animal. They shall be mine. I am Yahweh. So here we get a picture. Yahweh said, told Moses, give all the children of Levites to Aaron. Why? Because Aaron is the high priest right now. All of them shall be set apart. Now go to Exodus. We're going to start at 28. Chapter 28, we're going to read that whole chapter. Because this is dealing with Aaron, and he's bringing down the Levites, the Levitical priesthood. Bring Aaron, your brother, and his sons with him, near to you, from among the children of Israel, that ye may minister to me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, Ithamar, Aaron's sons. You shall make holy garments for Aaron, your brother, for glory and for beauty. You shall speak to all who are wise-hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they make Aaron's garments to sanctify him, that he may minister to me in the priest's office. These are the garments which they shall make: a breastplate, an ephod, and a robe, and a coat of checkered wood, a turban, and a sash, and they shall make holy garments for Aaron, your brother, and his sons, that he may minister to me in the priest's office. They shall take the gold, and the blue, and the purple, and the scarlet, and the fine linen. They shall make the ephod of gold, of blue, and purple, scarlet, and fine twine linen, the work of skillful workmen. It shall have two shoulder straps joined to the two ends of it, that it may be joined together, the skillfully woven band which is on the on it, that is on him, shall be like its work, and of the same piece of gold, of blue, and of purple, and scarlet, and fine twined linen. You shall take two onyx stones and engrave on them the names of the children of Yisra'el, the six of their names on the one stone, and the names of the six that remain on the other stone, and the order of the of their birth, with the work of an engraver in stone, like the engraver of a signet. You shall engrave the two stones according to the names of the sons of Yisra'el. You shall make them to be enclosed in a setting of the gold. You should put the two stones on the shoulder straps of the ephod to be stones of memorial for the sons of Israel. And Aaron shall bear their names before Yahweh on his two shoulders for a memorial. All right, family. I'm trying to hold it in. I'm going to get through this without saying too much. Pray for me. You shall make settings of gold and two chains of pure gold. You shall make them like cords of braided work. You shall put the braided chains on the setting. You shall make a breastplate of judgment, the work of the skillful workman, like the work of the ephod on. You shall make it of gold, of blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine twined linen. You shall make it. It shall be square and folded, double. A span shall be its length of it, and a span its width. You shall set in the settings of stone, four rows of stone. A row of ruby, topaz, and barley shall be the first row, and the second row of turquoise, a sapphire, and an emerald. And the third row, a jeanette. I'm going to come back with that one. And a agate and an amethyst. And the fourth row, a beryl. You got beryl on your own. I got a beryl. An onyx and a jasper. Excuse me, family. They shall be enclosed in the gold in their settings. The stones shall be according to the names of the sons of Israel, 12 according to their names, like the engraving of a signet. Everyone according to his name, they shall be for the 12 tribes. You shall make on the breastplate chains like cords of braided work of pure gold. You shall make on the breastplate two rings of gold, and shall put the two rings on the two ends of the breastplate. You shall put the two braided chains of gold and the two rings at the ends of the breastplate. Of the two braided chains, you shall put on the two settings and put them on the shoulder straps of the ephod and its forepart. You shall make two rings of gold, and you shall put them on the two ends of the breastplate of it on its edge, which is toward the side of the ephod inward. You shall make two rings of gold, and shall put them on the two shoulder straps of the ephod underneath in its forepart, closed by its coupling above the skillful woven band of the ephod. They shall bind the breastplate by its rings to the rings of the ephod with a lace of blue, that it may be on the skillfully woven band of the ephod, and that the breastplate may not swing out from the ephod. And Aaron shall bear the names of the sons of Israel in the vestry of judgment on his heart, when he goes into the holy place for a memorial before Yahweh continually. Amen. You shall put in the vestry of judgment the Urim and the Thummim, and they shall be on Aaron's heart when he goes in before Yahweh. And Aaron shall bear the judgment of the sons of Israel on his heart before Yahweh continually. Amen. You shall make the robe of the ephod all of blue. It shall have a hole for the head in the middle of it, and it shall have a binding of woven work around its hole, as it were the hole of a coat of a male, that it not be torn. On its hem you shall make pomegranates of blue and of purple and of scarlet around its hem, and bells of gold between and around them, and a golden bell and a pomegranate and a golden bell and a pomegranate and the hem and the hem of the robe. It shall be on Aaron to minister, and its sound shall be heard when he goes in the holy place before Yahweh. And when he comes out, that he should die, that he die, he not die. You shall make a plate of pure gold, an engraving on it like the engravings of a signet, holy to Yahweh. You shall put on it a lace of blue, and it shall be on the sash, on the front of the sash it shall be. It shall be on Aaron's forehead, and Aaron shall bear the iniquity of the holy things, which the sons of Israel shall make holy in all their gifts, in all their holy gifts. And it shall be always on the forehead, that they may be accepted before Yahweh. Hallelujah. You shall weave the coat of checkered work of fine linen, and you shall make a turban of fine linen, and you shall make a sash, the work of the embroiderer. You shall make coats for Aaron's sons, and you shall make sashes for them, and you shall make headbands for them, for glory and for beauty. You shall put them on Aaron, your brother, and on his sons with him, and you shall anoint them and consecrate them and sanctify them, that they may minister to me in the priest's office. You shall make them linen breeches to cover up the flesh of their nakedness, from the waist even to the thighs they shall reach. He made them a pair of boxers, family. You know, that was a pair of boxers. Yahweh said, look, the brothers, because you were sin, you ain't going up on the beamer, you naked up under them. So Yahweh said, look, you don't want no indecency going on. Everything indecency in order in Yahweh's place. Unlike what you see out here in this world. But so I may not be able to control the spirit. I might have to say something. You shall make them linen breeches to cover up the flesh of their nakedness, from the waist even to the thing, to the thighs that they shall reach. They shall be on Aaron and on his sons when they go into the tent of meeting, or when they come near to the altar to minister in the holy place, that they don't bear iniquity and die. It shall be a statue forever to him and to his offspring after him. This is Yahweh starting up Levitical priesthood. We're going to move on to Exodus 29. It's finished out there. And we're going to, it's a lot talking about the office of the priesthood. We're not going to get into all the duties of the priesthood. We're just going to get into how Yahweh told Moshe to set up the priesthood. And we'll talk about one thing tonight what the priest was doing. 29, we're going to read family 1 through 35. This is the thing that you shall do to them to make them holy, to minister to me in the priest's office. Take one young bull and two rams without defect, and unleavened bread, unleavened cakes mixed with oil, and unleavened wafers, anointed with oil. You shall make them of fine wheat flour. You shall put them into one basket and bring them in the basket with the bull and the two rams. You shall bring Aaron and his sons to the door of the tent of meeting and shall wash them with water. You shall take the garments and put on Aaron the coat, the robe of ephod, the ephod and the breastplate, and the clothes, and clothe him with the skillfully woven band of the ephod. And you shall set the turban on his head and put the holy crown on the turban. Then you shall take the anointing oil and pour it on his head and anoint him. You shall bring his sons and put coats on them. You shall clothe them with belts, Aaron and his son, and bind headbands on them. And they shall have the priesthood by a perpetual statute. And you shall consecrate Aaron and his son. Amen. You shall bring the bull before the tent of meeting. And Aaron and his sons shall lay their hands on the head of the bull. You shall kill the bull before Yahweh at the door of the tent of meeting. You shall take the blood of the bull and put it on the horns of the altar with your finger, and you shall pour out all the blood at the base of the altar. You shall take all the fat that covers the inwards, the cover of the liver, the two kidneys, and the fat that is on them, and burn them on the altar. But the meat of the bull and its skin and its dung you shall burn with fire outside of the tent. It is a sin offering. You shall also take the one ram, and Aaron and his sons shall lay their hands on the head of the ram. You shall kill the ram, and you shall take its blood and sprinkle it round on the altar. You shall cut the ram into its pieces, and wash it, its inwards and the legs, and put them with its pieces and with its head. You shall burn the whole ram on the altar. It is a burnt offering to Yahweh. It is a pleasant aroma, an offering made by fire to Yahweh. You shall take the other ram, and Aaron and his sons shall lay their hands on the head of the ram. They shall kill it and take some of its blood and put it on the tip of the right ear of Aaron and on the tip of the right ear of his sons and on the thumb of their right hand and on the big toe of their right foot and sprinkle the blood round the altar. That is how you anoint somebody. You shall take of the blood that is on the altar and the anointing oil and sprinkle it on Aaron and on his garments and on his sons and on the garments of his sons with him, and he shall be made holy, and his garments and his sons' garments with him. So Aaron going to be holy, and what he wears going to be holy. That's one thought that I did want to speak on. We have to remember that when we wear the holy garments that Yahweh has anointed for us to wear. Not just us, but what we put on is holy. But that, I'm not going to get it. Just a thought just came to mind when I believe it was Brother Shaul or what Brother Paul, when they ripped their clothes and had people to pass their garments around because they couldn't get to everybody. So he ripped his clothes and had them look, this, let them hold that. And I was thinking about something holy, but I'm not going to get into it tonight because whatever we wear is holy if we are holy. Once we have that holy ruach, that spirit within inside of us, we are holy. Because that brother, that's another story, family. I'm not going to go there tonight. But whatever we put on, whatever we do, we are holy people. I just want to get that out. We are holy. Yahweh need us to return to the understanding that we are a holy people. We are set apart. The world may not see us as being set apart, but we are set apart. And we become blessings or curses to a nation or to anybody that comes in contact with us. We become that. Especially if we're doing something out of order. What we doing will affect somebody else's life. It will do that. Whether for good or whether for bad. We just read about Brother Jonah. What he did affected other people's lives. He brought a curse upon them. Because he did not want to do what Yahweh asked him to do. So if you believe it or not, or if you have loved ones and you're around your loved ones and not doing what Yahweh asked you to do, and you see their lives turn upside downwards, look at yourself. Because we are blessings and we are curses to anybody that comes in contact with us. Because we are a holy, set-apart people. I wasn't going to close the stop, though, but that just came out. Well, I'll stop that. 21, family. 21. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go back to 20. Then you shall kill the ram and take some of the blood and put it on the tip of the right ear of Aaron and on the tip of the right ear of his son and on the thumb of their right hand and on the big toe of their right foot and sprinkle the blood around on the altar. You shall take of the blood that is on the altar and on the anointing oil and sprinkle it on Aaron and on his garments and on his sons and on the son's garments, on the garments of his sons with him, and he shall be made holy, and his garments and his sons and his sons' garments with him. Amen. And you shall take some of the ram's fat, the fat tail, the fat that covers the inwards, the cover of the liver, the two kidneys, the fat that is on them, and the right thigh, for it is on the ram of consecration. And one loaf of bread, one cake of oil bread, and one wafer out of the basket, unleavened bread, that is before Yahweh. Amen. You shall put all of this in Aaron's hand and in his son's hand, and shall wave them for a wave offering before Yahweh. You shall take them from their hands and burn them on the altar, on the burnt offering, for a pleasant aroma before Yahweh. It is an offering made by fire to Yahweh. You shall take the breast of Aaron's ram of consecration and wave it for a wave offering before Yahweh, and it shall be your portion. You shall sanctify the breast of the wave offering and the thigh of the wave offering, which is waved and which is heaved up of the ram of consecration, even of that which is for Aaron, and of that which is for his son. And it shall be for Aaron and his sons their portion forever, for the sons of Israel, from of the sons of Israel. For it is a wave offering, and it shall be wave offering from the sons of Israel, and of the sacrifices of their peace offering, even their wave offering to Yahweh. The holy garments of Aaron shall be for his son after him to anoint it, to be anointed in them, and to be consecrated in them. 7 days shall the sons who is priest in the place put them. No, let me start that over. 7 days shall the sons who is priest in his place put them on. When he comes into the tent of meetings to minister in the holy place, you shall take the ram of the consecration and boil its meat in a holy place. Aaron and his son shall eat the meat of them and the bread that is in the basket at the door of the tent of meeting. They shall eat those things which atonement was made to consecrate, and sanctify them. But a stranger shall not eat of it, because they are holy. If any of the meat of the consecration or of the bread remains to morning, then you shall burn the remainder with fire. It shall not be eaten, because it is holy. Amen. You should do so to Aaron and to his sons, according to all that I have commanded you. You shall consecrate them 7 days. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just wanted to ask some questions, but I can't. Okay, family, we're going to move on. We're going to move on to one of the duties of Yahweh, of the Levitical priesthood, that one of the reasons why Yahweh has set them up. Many reasons, but I just want to give this reason so we can stay online with the thought. So remember, we started off in Exodus 19 talking about a kingdom of priests. Peter, we're talking about a royal priesthood that we are, Yahweh's people. Numbers, Yahweh took the tribe of Levi. He set them to himself. Now we're going through who did he set to himself, which is the Levitical priesthood, which is Levi, one of the 12 sons of the 12 tribes. Now he's going through their offices and their duty and how you should set them apart, what garments they should wear, and what great detail that Yahweh has taken just for his priests. If we go back, and if you heard the things, that was great detail that he commanded for his priests. He just ain't say, all right, y'all can jump up there and be priests. It took great thought in this. This come from somewhere. All this, what Moses wrote down and what he took from Yahweh, what was commanded, it comes from somewhere. And it points to something. It means something. So the office of a priest is very important. Very important. Great detail Yahweh took into giving our forefather, one of our ancestors, Moshe, to making or setting up the Levitical priesthood. And there's so much we can go through about the Levitical priesthood, but we're not going to go through all that. Because we're trying to bring something back to restoration. We're trying to bring something back so the world can see the culture of Israel, Hebrew culture, living and working within this world system. That's what you will see when you meet in Hebrew. Living Torah. You will see the word of Yah. which is Yahushua, which is. We're going to get there. So we're going to move on to Leviticus 4, family. One of the reasons why the Levites were set up, the priesthood was set up. And we're going to read the whole chapter. Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel, saying, if anyone sins unintentionally in any of the things which Yahweh has commanded not to be done and does any of them." Hold up, Yahweh. Now you're setting up a way for us to get out. You're setting up a way for us to get, if we have a transgression against you, you're setting up, you're giving Moses back here in the wilderness a way that we can get back right with you. The priests, you're giving them a system right now so we can get back right with you. If it's unintentionally or if it's intentional, you're setting up a way for us, Father. You're making us a way back to you so we can be right with you and right standing. Excuse me, family. 3. If the anointed priest sins so as to bring a guilt on the people. I've got to talk about this one right here. If the priest is not right in Israel, Israel is not right. If the priest is not right in Israel, Israel is not right. We have been going through the Torah portion for many years now, and we done read many times where Yahweh's priest has taken the people away. So Yahweh is restoring his priesthood and foremost. First and foremost, he has to restore his priesthood first. Because once they get right, then they'll be able to teach the nation. They'll be able to bring the Torah the way Yahweh intended it to be brought. Let me read that again. 4:3. If the anointed priest sins so as to bring guilt on the people, then let him offer which he has sinned, a young bull without defect to Yahweh for a sin offering. He shall bring the bull to the door of the tent of meeting before Yahweh, and he shall lay his hand on the head of the bull, and he kill the bull before Yahweh. The anointed priest shall take some of the blood of the bull and bring it to the tent of meeting. The priest shall dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle some of the blood 7 times before Yahweh, before the veil of the sanctuary. The priest shall put some of the blood on the horn of the altar of sweet incense before Yahweh, which is in the tent of meeting, and he shall pour out all the rest of the blood of the bull at the base of the altar of burnt offering, which is at the door of the tent of meeting. He shall take all the fat of the bull of the sin offering from it, that the fat covers the inwards, and all the fat that is on the inwards, and the 2 kidneys, and the fat that is on them, which is by the loins, and the cover of the liver. With the kidneys he shall take away, as it is taken from the bull of the sacrifice of peace offering. The priest shall burn them on the altar of burnt offering. The bull skin, all its meat, with its head and with its legs, its inwards, and its dung. He should carry the whole bull outside of the camp to a clean place, where the ashes are poured out and burnt on wood with fire. Where the ashes are poured out, it shall be burnt. If the whole congregation of Israel sins and the thing is hidden from the eyes of the assembly, and they have done any of the things which Yahweh have commanded not to be done, and are guilty. When the sin which they have sinned is known, then the assembly shall offer a young bull for a sin offering and bring it before the tent of meeting. The elders of the congregation shall lay their hands on the head of the bull before Yahweh, and the bull shall be killed before Yahweh. The anointed priest shall bring some of the blood of the bull to the tent of meeting, and the priest shall dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle it seven times before Yahweh, before the veil. He shall put some of the blood on the horns of the altar which is before Yahweh, that is in the tent of meeting, and the rest of the blood he shall pour out at the base of the altar of burnt offering, which is at the door of the tent of meeting. All its fat he shall take from it and burn it on the altar. Thus shall he do with the bull, as he did with the bull of the sin offering, so shall he do with this. And the priest shall make an atonement for them, and they shall be forgiven. He should carry the bull outside the camp and burn it as he burned the first bull. It is the sin offering for the assembly. When a ruler sins and unwittingly does any one of all the things which Yahweh, his mighty one, has commanded not to be done, and is guilty. Yahweh, he got a court system, fam. I hope y'all hear that. You know, innocent and proven guilty, to proven guilty. If his sin, in which he has sinned, is made known to him, he shall bring as his offering a goat, a male goat, without defect. He shall lay his hand on the head of the goat and kill it in the place where they killed the burnt offering before Yahweh. It is a sin offering. The priest shall take some of the blood of the sin offering with his finger and put it on the horns of the altar of burnt offering. He shall pour out the rest of its blood at the base of the altar of burnt offering. All its fat he shall burn on the altar like the fat of the sacrifices of peace offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his sin, and he will be forgiven. Amen. If any one of the common people sins unwittingly in doing any of the things which Yahweh has commanded not to be done and is guilty, if his sin which he has sinned is made known to him, then he shall bring an offering of a goat, a female without defect, for his sin which he has sinned. He shall lay his hand on the head of the sin offering and kill the sin offering in the place of the burnt offering. The priest shall take some of its blood with his finger and put it on the horns of the altar of burnt offering, and the rest of the blood he shall pour out at the base of the altar. And all its fat he shall take away, like the fat is taken away from the sacrifice of peace offering, and the priest shall burn it on the altar of pleasant aroma to Yahweh, and the priest shall make an atonement for him, and he will be forgiven. If he brings a lamb as his offering for a sin offering, he shall bring a female without defect. He shall lay his hand on the head of his sin offering and kill it for a sin offering in the place where they killed the burnt offering. The priest shall take some of the blood of the sin offering with his finger and put it on the horns of the altar of burnt offering, and all the rest of his blood he shall pour out at the base of the altar. All its fat he shall take away, like the fat of the lamb is taken away from the sacrifice of peace offering. And the priest shall burn them on the altar, on the offering, excuse me, family, of Yahweh made by fire. And the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his sin, that he has sinned, and he will be forgiven. Now we got another part of the priest. The priest was set up as a go-between so people can get right, get back in right standards with Yahweh. There's a picture there, family. We ain't going to deal with the picture then. We're just reading the picture. But you have to ask a question. Why did Yahweh set up the priest in the first place if, well, man is bringing it about today, you can go straight to the Father now. You don't need no mediator. Why didn't Yahweh just say, oh, if he sinned, just go let him go out there and he sacrificed a bull and he can offer it up to me himself? Why he couldn't do that? Why even a ruler of the people, not the priest, but a ruler in the people, or a lay person, as the scripture just read, why neither one of them can go and offer straight to Yahweh? Why did they have to take it to the priest? Why did you need a mediator for how they are preaching it today or how they are teaching it today, especially those brothers and sisters who do not believe in the Messiah? In order for you to get your sins back in right standards, or you to get back in right standards with the Father, you had to take your offering to a priest, and he had to do that for you. But before he can do that for you, he had to be in right standards. He had to be without spot or wrinkle. He had to be perfect before the Father, before he can offer something for you. Why did you set that up, Father? And these just questions for those who say that the Messiah did not come yet. Or the Father, you can go straight to the Father on your own. Right here, we're reading back when he set up the Levitical priesthood that they were set up as mediators, go-betweens before you and the Father. Then if you don't believe in the Messiah, you still should have these go-betweens. Somewhere set up. Where is your go-between? Where is your mediator? Where is your altar? You should have that. Somewhere set up, there should be a priest set up for you. Even if you don't believe in the Torah or what you're reading, or you have your own doctrine going on. One or the other. Because if you believe in the Torah or what you're reading, you have to have a go-between. You have to. And especially over here, because all over here, everybody is Judah over here. Ain't too many people claiming to be the Levites. Which if you go by that 12 tribe chart, they said the Haitians are the Levites, and all of y'all need to be jumping in some ships, riding over the Haitian and telling them, look, man, I know you practice voodoo, but I need you to go ahead and offer in your voodoo to make me get right with the Father. Because that's what he set up. He set up a go-between. But we're not going to talk about that. Some things just got to come out when we talk. Just got to talk. It just got to come out. All right, family. We're going to finish moving on. Because there's so much out there. Israel has so much going on right now. You know, and it's sad in one point because, and you're happy in another point. Let me break it down. 17 years ago when I came in, I was so happy to find another Hebrew Israelite because they were so far and few in between. When you saw another brother, you ran up to him or sister, and you was joyful. But now, you almost got to disconnect yourself to some of these out here, and no, we're not like that. You got to not get on a defense, but you got to defend what they're teaching. Or you got to let them know they're not teaching the Torah. What they doing over there, that's not the spirit of Yahweh. That's not the spirit. It's almost like a fad to be an Israelite today. To be an Hebrew, to call yourself that. Even to, you see so many of them with that name, Israel, attached to the end of them. And have no clue on what it means to be an Israelite. Yahweh given us clues. He gave us his Torah. That is our wisdom before the nations. We lost our wisdom. We lost our understanding of his Torah. But thank be Yahweh that he is bringing up men in these last days. He said he's going to raise them up in these last days to teach his people. Why? Because their heart's going to be after his. And Yahweh asked me a question today, and the question has been on my mind all day long. I mean, and because it was something I was dealing with. But, you know, being a priest of Yahweh, your life don't belong to you. It does not belong to you. In every situation, he's teaching you. And everything in your life, he's trying to bring some understanding. It may be a physical thing, but for Yahweh, it's always a spiritual understanding. If you're listening, if you hear. And the question was, can you love a person that's hard to love? Let me say it again. Okay, somebody say, who's hot? What do you mean? Can you love someone that is hard to love? And that's been on my mind all day long. And, you know, Yahweh just don't put nothing on your mind. He commits with you. He talks with you. He runs you through his word. Because you might ask Yahweh, what do you mean by that? What do you mean, can I love somebody that's hard to love? Well, look at my children. Look at yourself. Look in the mirror. You are hard to love. Because as the brother brought out this weekend, Brother Daywell, that we're so disrespectful to the Father, Israel, the Hebrew Israelites. We're so disrespectful to him. So, you know, I'm a part of that. I'm not excluded of being disrespectful to the Father. So when you set up in a place of being one of his teachers, well, he got to show you his what. And how he showed you that is through your life. So the question was, can you love somebody that's hard to love? Look at my people. Look how they treated me. Look how they treats me. Not treated in past tense. How they treats me. They are hard to love. But I love them. Because I'm always making a way for them to come back in my bosom. Israel is so hard to love in the eyes of Abba. And that I understand that. I understand that. Loving somebody that's hard to love. Because I'm that person, I'm hard to love. But he loves me anyway. Let's move on, family. Said I wasn't going to do no talking. I was just going to do some reading. But we're going to move on to Exodus 40. About to bring it down. Starting at verse 13, and we're going to go through 15. You shall put on Aaron the holy garment, and you shall anoint him and sanctify him, that he may minister to me in the priest's office. You shall bring his sons and put coats on them, covering. Yahweh forever covering us. He started with Adam in the garden, covering him. Look, man, I got this. I'm doing something with you spiritually. I'm covering you constantly. You are so hard to love. And then some of us know it. We can look in that mirror and like, ooh, we can't stand ourselves at times. We know the ugliness that's inside of us. But for those that are called out to be that royal priesthood, he's asking you a question. Can you love somebody that's hard to love? Think of our master, Yahushua. He loved them, and they was hard to love. He loved them so much, he got up on that tree, he took that beating, and when he got finished taking that beating, he said, Father, forgive them. That is hard to do. Now you are asking me to live his life, to love the way he loved. So those who are called out, men, women, can you love someone that is hard to love? That means we have to get out of our own way. We have to get out of ourselves. You want to be that light? You want to be that salt? Start loving the way he loves. Regardless of how you look in the end. You didn't think to the minds of man that he looked foolish? Man, we just beat you down. You're talking about forgive us. You ain't got nothing, no word. How you say forgive us? We got power over you in their mind. They thought they had power over him. Not knowing that he said, Father, I love them, so forgive them. But in their minds, he was a fool. Even to the so-called non-believer that was looking on, it had nothing to do with it. Man, I was that brother, I wouldn't be able to forgive them. No, I'm going to forgive them. I can't forgive them, man. What they did to that man, and he going to ask for forgiveness, ask whoever he asks to forgive them. No, man, that brother there, he's something different. Because I would have never asked for forgiveness for them. I would have asked for a 357 or 44 Magnum and took it to him the way they beat him. So Abba has asked me, can you love someone that is hard to love? And once you pass that test, then you're at the end of the law and you'll become Mashiach. You'll become Yahushua. It ain't easy though, family. It ain't easy. Back at 14, you shall bring his sons and put coats on them. You shall anoint them as you anointed their fathers, that they may minister to me in the priest's office. Their anointing shall be to them for an everlasting priesthood throughout their generations. Again, Hebrews, those who do not believe in the Mashiach, that office is an everlasting throughout the generations. Where is your go-between right now? When you think you can go straight to the Father. We just read in Leviticus 4, the whole chapter, because I guarantee you're doing something to break that Torah. Where's your go-between? Don't tell me you can go straight to the Father, because he never set it up like that. Never. He always had a go-between. Here's another question for you. Why did he make Moshe Elohim and make him earn his prophets? If man was not supposed to be looked at as Elohim, Almighty One, you have to answer that question. All right, family, last scripture. We're going to Hebrews 7. 7:11. We'll close out with that one. Now, perfection was through the Levitical priesthood. For under it, the people have received the law, or the Torah. What further need was there for another priesthood to arise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? That's a question, family. Because the reason why we just read in Exodus 40, because he said that order was a perpetual. Now, another priesthood has arose. The order of Melchizedek. Another priesthood. Not after the order of Aaron, the Levitical priesthood. What happened, or did anything happen? And we're going to have those answers next week. But we want you to ponder on this. He started off with a kingdom of priests, then a royal priest. Then he took one of the tribes of Israel and brought them to himself to cover the whole nation of Israel. And then he brought that one tribe and he showed them. He told them that one Levitical priesthood, this tribe, if you send the rest of the nation, you've got to bring it to them, and they'll bring it to me. But in Exodus 40, in chapter 40, in verse 15, talks about that will be a perpetual priesthood. But here in Hebrews, it says that there's a new order, and it's not after the order of Aaron. So ponder on the things that we have already read and ask the Father to open up your understanding and pray, and he'll give you your understanding. Or you just tune in next week, and we're going to go from there and break it down what Yahweh is talking about and what priesthood are we under today. I want to thank y'all family for coming out with me, for listening. I want to thank Abba Yah for giving me his understanding, for giving me his truth, for showing me things that are hard for me to accept, but still giving, showing me and commanding me to live by that. He don't ask me, he commands me to live by that. I want to thank him. I want to ask him to bless Brother Shafut L. House and his family and his Isha and his kids for always being open. May he have a special blessing upon this house and the children. Thank you, Abba. I want to ask you to bless all the children of Yisrael, all Hebrews who strive to become more like his son each and every day, Father. Bless them, Father. Encourage them, Father. Strengthen them. Let them know that they are set apart, that they are holy, regardless of what they go through, that you look from on high down on them. As we talked about on another episode, I know no one that can number the hairs on my head. Mm-hmm. I know no one can do that. Not even man and all his scientific knowledge can come and understand how many hairs I have on my body. What you do, that is great care of something when you know how many hairs are on them. That is great care. So family, be encouraged, be strengthened, and walk in the love of Yahushua, family. What he's saying, if you love me, keep my commandments. How shall the world know that we are his talmidim, his students, that we love one another, and that we love everybody with the same love. loving someone that is hard to love. Shalom, friend.
Stop.